Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstkclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Which NFL team did you change your opinion of most after week one? 877-881-1053. Which NFL team did you change your opinion of most after week one? Because, man, there are a whole lot of candidates. Part of me wonders about the Eagles, the Steelers. But I do want to get
good or bad. Like,
yeah, keep going down the list and see if you have any left.
Come on, man. We don't have any teams.
Okay.
The Bengals.
Hold on.
The 49ers.
Let's shout out the Bengals for that one fan.
The one guy.
Who's like, they're going to win the AFC North. You mark my words.
Like, did that make you change your opinion in a good way for the Bengals? Or, hey, it feels like Minnesota's worse than I thought. Because that's
Possibly what I walked away from.
I walked away going, Minnesota just didn't look good at all.
Possibly both. I can't wait to get to Kevin's homework assignment I gave him.
Okay.
To see like how much week one kind of matters. Because I think we forget all about
1220
this.
On that one. I think you're going to 1220.
We forget all of. Right now, it is awesome. And we are going to overanalyze what happened in week one, that teams are good or teams are bad based off of one game. But yeah, I think the Vikings are worse than I thought. I thought that they would. I think I had them to make the wild card spot, and that doesn't help out when you lose to the Bengals. And then the Bengals, I'm not going with our Autoflex Leasing fan text guy. They will not make the playoffs.
If they're right, they we need to better. Find that person and be like, "You're awesome."
Well, they can have my job.
Based on stats I just learned about Pat Mahomes, there's no way that he can. That they're going to be able to get past him. I will say, fair. Kevin. I was ecstatic for a bunch of rookie receivers, a bunch of young receivers to see them do their thing. Like Waddle got a touchdown, Jamar Chase got a touchdown, Smith got one.
Does it start with Jamar Chase? Because did you see Burrow's sarcastic response? He goes, "I thought he dropped everything," and so I enjoyed, because for as much as you hear coaches and players, they're like, "I don't listen to the media," blah blah blah. Man, it sure is funny like what messages do seep through, and it's usually the negative ones. So props to Joe Burrow. I thought that was a hilarious line.
I like that a lot. I was looking at Arizona and thinking to myself, I was ready to make the bet with Mike. I was willing to give him $50. But he wouldn't take my $50. So I thought that they were a middling team. Now, did they play against a defense that's awful? Yes. Tennessee does not have a good defense. And, Mike, we discussed this last week regarding the Cowboys. Very similar offenses, right? Our defenses, and that they get toasted. And they didn't get any better this offseason, even though they added Bud Dupree. They didn't get better. So was it that it was the perfect match, or – did Kyler Murray go out there and do what Mike asked? Be calm down but in the first quarter and then just trust where his receivers were going to be. That team is uber talented, and the Christian Kirk catch might have been the sickest thing I've ever seen in my life. That was ridiculous, man.
Wow.
And he used to do that all the time at A&M too.
For sure.
Mike, when he's looking behind his head and bending over backwards to catch the ball, I saw him do that all the time, the Willie Mays catch. It's amazing.
He's kind of a Tyreek Hill starter kid. He just hasn't produced anywhere close
to
Hill.
Yeah, he's got a long way to go there. But yeah, no, I see what you're saying.
I will say this. I backed off of the New York Giants winning the division as training camp was going on, and they looked horrible in the highlights I saw. Obviously, I was paying attention to Cleveland, Kansas City. I mean, that was most of my attention, because once New Orleans was blowing out Green Bay, I was like, okay, this is the game that everybody thought would be the best game, and it's awesome. But I was surprised New York at home gets blown out by Denver, who we don't think much of. So I'm like,
you know what?
New York's horrible.
Right when you said that, Mike, I saw a text. Hey, Kev, Look who's 1-0, Teddy Bridgewater, you goof.
Oh.
Like, you beat the Giants. Like, that's fine. And by the way, saw that interesting stat. Since he came into the league, Daniel Jones continues to lead the league in fumbles with 19 since he came into the league. But is it possible Denver could be better than anticipated, to your point? Is it possible the Giants are even worse than anticipated?
Denver, I think the Cowboys are better than Denver, but Denver's somewhat opposite of Dallas right now. They have a top five defense that might be the best defense in the NFL, right? Cowboys have a top five offense. It might be the best offense in the NFL as this season progresses. But offensively, they have some talent. But it doesn't mean they have a good offense. They have one of the worst offenses, I believe, in the NFL. Just like I think the Cowboys have one of the worst defenses in the NFL. And yes, the Cowboys do have some talent on defense, but overall, it's a very bad defense. And so I look at Denver and go, I just don't think you can be that bad on one side of the ball and really be a good team. I just think that you just can't compensate when you're that bad on one side. And I do think Denver's that bad on one side.
A lot of people jumping in on the Eagles from the 214. Eagles, definitely. They look fast. They were busting heads out there. From the 817, Philly to the Super Bowl. They might be kidding. And then from the 817, the Eagles as well. So a lot of people quickly jumping in on the Eagles. And for week one, again, that's all you have to analyze. I get it.
I will say Jalen Hurts did, and his timeline to Dak is so similar. Even watching him throw, I'm like, well, all right, still some things are missing, but look at how much these dudes love him. Like, you can see how much they love him on the field still. I still will credit Atlanta for being miserable a little more than I will Philadelphia, but Sal Palantonio did tell us, didn't he say on Friday, they're going to go into Atlanta and they're going to beat them. That being said, he also added, I don't think they're going to be great this year, but I think they're going to go in there and win. So
I was impressed by Jalen Hurts. Watching him at Alabama and watching him play four games last year, I was not impressed with his four games in the NFL, and I was not impressed with his career at Alabama and Oklahoma. But that was a impressive game. Does that mean Jalen Hurts is great at football now? I don't know. We'll get to see him play this week. I forget against who, but I know the next week is against the Cowboys here in Arlington. So that worries me a little bit. The one thing, too, is Philadelphia's defensive front four. Atlanta better be the worst offensive line in the NFL, because watching that game, because that was one of the games that was on television with Buffalo and Pittsburgh, I was like, holy cow, the way that we blocked in the interior, and I know we get Zach Martin back, but the way that they were rushing up the middle against Atlanta, I was just like, son of a gun, man. Like, Philadelphia, we'll get to see them play again another game. One game doesn't mean a whole bunch in the NFL, but that was very impressive.
Find out at 12:20.
Let's find out at 12:20 what it means.
To go with that, somebody did text in from the 484. What? I did not realize the Falcons were that bad. And so that's what I love is, you know, we talked about this with Cowboys training camp, is when you see things show out, you're like, is it because this unit is so unbelievable, or is it because this part is not so great? It's the same thing here. Like, you could find out next week that the Falcons just suck, or you could see the Eagles beat the 49ers, and then you're like, ah, I see. So, like, there's a lot of different ways. Obviously, these singular games could pivot.
I feel like I was wrong about the Colts after one game. After watching the one game, I'm like, oh, man, Carson Wentz is still afraid to throw.
Okay.
But, guys, are we all ready to say that Jared Goff, after one half of miserable football, has turned it around and is ready to take this Detroit Lions team with Dan Campbell all the way to the top?
No.
Oh, yeah, me either. But no, it was still a lot of fun to watch.
I mean,
second half was a blast. That may have been my favorite second half of football.
It was honestly like a Cowboys
game
last year, right? Yeah. You get down by 20-something, and then you have Dak, come back, and it's awesome. And you're like, can we pull this off? And one time we did. We just couldn't do it against Cleveland, and we couldn't do it against Seattle.
I was going to mention this in Betting with Bassick later, but I think now's the perfect time. So with less than 2 minutes to go, it was 41-17, okay? So the 49ers are ahead by 24. You're sitting there, you bet the 49ers. They were 9 to 9.5 point favorites, depending which book you looked at. So you're up by 24, and you just need them to win by 9 or 9.5. Little do you realize when you come back. Just think about it. Because even two touchdowns alone doesn't sink you. But they got two touchdowns and two two-point conversions in the last 2 minutes to score 16 points. Final score, 41-33. So if you were looking for the Lions to get that ridiculous backdoor cover
with the ball in Goff's hands, marching down the field to score a touchdown and go for two. Like, they were on their way, and I don't know if you saw that last play of his. He looked left. There wasn't anybody there. He looked back right and saw three dudes running at his face, and then he looked back left, still nobody there, threw it there anyway. It was like, I got to throw this ball away, and he did, and then they lost the game.
Now, if we could take a step back to the Colts for a second, is it Carson Wentz, or is it just generally the Colts that you felt like had a bigger letdown yesterday? Because I'm not here to obviously tell you that either was amazing.
Yeah, I guess if you look at a 102, but compared to Russell Wilson's 152, you know, there's a little bit of a discrepancy there.
He still holds on to the ball too long.
They didn't run the ball great. I know, Mike, you're big on Jonathan Taylor and hoping that he can be that dude. For some reason, for me, they play boring football. Like, and it's been maybe about 5 years of boring Indianapolis Colts football. After what we got from Peyton Manning for so long, it just always felt like there's something exciting happening. And the Colts just, their defense should be good. Russell Wilson went out there and put some big balls up in the air at them, and they could not stop. They couldn't stop Russell Wilson from cooking. So it's September, and that's when Russell Wilson does his best cooking, not later in the season.
It's always weird, though, as that game progresses and you see Russell Wilson get off to a great start. And I know, look, to keep that going, you'd have to put up 52 points. And I know that that's not going to happen, but it's interesting how the Seahawks, as I thought the Colts were coming back, obviously, a little bit there, I'm like, why does Seattle shut him down? Like, it's like, I know you're doing great and you're hitting bombs and it looks like we could throw for 400 yards and 40 points, but let's now shut the game down and hand it off more to Carson and slow the pace down. Now they end up winning by 12 points and somewhat of an easy win there, but it's interesting to me that they kind of shut it down, because real quick, the other game is the game of the week besides the Cowboys Tampa Bay game. Was the Cleveland-Kansas City game. At halftime, Cleveland is just going nuts offensively. They just look almost unstoppable with Baker Mayfield making big plays and then Chubb running the ball well. Hunt had moments. And then in the second half, I get Chubb had a fumble and you have the stupid punter drop the ball. But you're just like, also, it just looked like they lost a little bit of their aggressiveness. And there's anything about going against Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, do not think because we are up by 12 or that we have put up 22 points on the board that you're not going to need 40 points.
Because if you do, then this is what could happen to you.
Mahomes throws it up! Caught! Stretching touchdown! Travis Kelce touchdown! Kansas City! And for the first time in this regular season, the Chiefs have the lead at 7:04 to go in the game.
God, he's so fun to watch. He is so... in my lifetime, it happens, right? Like, Tom Brady's arguably the greatest quarterback, or Joe Montana second.
But he doesn't, but they didn't there's do not, the wild the, things.
The thrilling part of Patrick Mahomes and a guy like Brett Favre or a guy like John Elway is just like, what the hell are you thinking? And then it works out. And every time they release the ball and it's going down the field, there's no other feeling than just pure, like, adrenaline rush excitement when guys like Patrick Mahomes has the ball and they're about to possibly make a play. And there's, to me, there's a lot of great quarterbacks in the NFL, but nobody excites me the way that Patrick Mahomes does.
I like the way you say that too, because don't you all, there's very rare times in sports where you believe that a guy is going to do something and he does. Like, a lot of times it just fails. Jerry says that all the time. 95% of the time we fail, 5% of the time somebody gets it right. But Patrick Mahomes, I feel like I believe that it's going to happen, and he will. And he delivers. He delivers. So they are so good. That group is so good at making people look foolish. You know, they go out there, and you're like, you're like, well, man, you know, how many times will they be down? And you're sitting there going, we got it. We did it. We have done what we're supposed to. We came out, hit him in the mouth, and they're supposed to be done now.
He's 10-6 in those situations. Yeah. When he gets down by double digits, Patrick Mahomes is 10-6.
Absurd. Even if you were 6-10, I would be like, that's too good of a record. 10-6 is absolutely absurd.
Baker was, somebody just said Baker was awesome.
No, he was not.
He was awesome. For the first half, he was awesome.
But other than in the second half, he was fine.
I mean, touchdowns.
I didn't think he was bad. I don't actually think he did throw a touchdown.
Yeah, he didn't. They ran it in four times, and he was part of a lot. You know,
I mean,
he was
it's
part
important
of that.
To move your team up and down the field. Like, I thought
he's a
he
great
was
competitor.
Solid.
I think
but
he's
not
a great competitor.
Awesome.
But yeah, I didn't think that he was amazing or anything.
And in the game of the day that most people probably didn't care about, but it still happened, is the Texans, who I saw CBS Sports predicted would go 0-17. Are now 1-0, and Tyrod Taylor said that win means everything to me because I know a lot of people doubted him, a lot of people doubted the team, the locker room. We'll get back into Trevor Lawrence and the other rookie quarterbacks a little bit later. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Brought to you by Ford, built for Texas, built for you. Our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Oh, it's been a busy post-game time, hasn't it? I was about to say the weekend, but I guess a lot of this stuff came down on Friday. What is your understanding of all of the Lyle Collins happenings?
Well, obviously, you know, I think what we know concretely is that the NFL is suspending him 5 games for violation of the substance abuse policy. Digging a little deeper into it, I'm seeing where his agent, Peter Schaefer, is saying that the matter is an ongoing appeal, and he's a little mad that the NFL released this while he thinks the appeal is still going on. So I think the debate here for Schaefer in Collins' behalf is that he didn't test positive for over a year, but there was a failure to show up for tests. And
7 tests.
Yeah, 7, yeah. I think we saw, right? And he's contending that suspensions are not applicable for failure to cooperate, or he's saying there was reasons why he missed these tests, and he was tying it to COVID-related incidents where the players had to go home and that he didn't test. So we'll see where it goes, but as it stands right now, and as we've seen with Cowboy player or team appeals to suspensions,
usually
they don't go
awesome.
Very well.
Yeah.
So we'll see. So I think we have to assume getting ready this week that the Cowboys are going to have to replace him at least this week and potentially for five games.
In your opinion, replacing is Nasecki's not the option, right? Like,
well, in my opinion, but they didn't ask me, right?
Right.
We'll see.
And I think if it was a like a short term thing, like sprained ankle, he has to miss one game, then okay, let's see what Nsekhe or Terrence Steele can do, right? But if we know it's five games, and you guys know I've been saying this, over and over again, I'm moving Zach Martin out there. Connor McGovern played well. I went back and looked, and I looked at, you know, the majority of his snaps, and he hung in there awfully well against those big old cows he was blocking, right? Vita Vea and Ndamukong Suh.
Mm-hmm.
He held his own to the point it's he won a lot. So, you know, the two of them, if you look at their stats, Sue had an assisted tackle. Vita Vea zeroed out. So whoever they had over him wasn't doing much. So to me, I feel better about Connor McGovern playing guard than either of those other two guys playing tackle. But it sounded like on Friday when we left off with Mike McCarthy that they would, you know, see which one of those two they wanted to start there.
Now, if we could take a step back to Lyle for just a second, do you understand? Like, I hear what the agent is saying, as he was like, but as a Cowboys fan, can you understand the frustration if that was, in fact, seven missed tests and they're like, I mean, it's a fine. Who cares? Like, we didn't know we'd be suspended. Can you understand why Cowboys fans might be frustrated by that concept?
Oh, the fact that he missed that many tests?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure, you know, but. So the weird thing is the team's got to know that that happened, right?
I would assume, yeah. I hope.
So you would advise him, look, don't let this happen again, which creates the kind of conspiracy theory. Well, why is he missing, right? Are you covering up for something? You don't want to test? And I'm assuming that's what the NFL and this the policy is interpreting, like – because I've always known when guys are in the program, a missed test is considered a positive test, regardless of, you know, positive or negative.
Right.
You just can't miss. So, yeah, there's a certain responsibility there. I can remember, you know, kind of when this thing holds, you know, started with all the testing and missed testing, that if you were scheduled for a test, like you know, and it was random, which could be, you know, 10 times a month randomly, you know, that's every 3 days. Well, if you go on vacation, you're supposed to set up a spot where you can get tested. It's your responsibility.
Oh.
So there's a lot of responsibility on the player to take care of those tests. And if you say you were in, I don't know, say you were in Cabo, well, you got to test, or you got to fly back, one of the two. Otherwise, they consider it a positive test.
In the midst of all of this, it could have been easy to lose sight of. We also got some word of a multi-week absence for Michael Gallup. What's the what's the word there?
So it's a calf injury, and it could be, you know, I think they called it multiple weeks. So to me, that means at least two or three and possibly four or five, somewhere in there. So this depth that we've been hearing about, well, okay, Cedric Wilson and Noah Brown, let's see what you got. And it might save a spot on the roster for Simi Fehoko, if indeed, you know, if it's that long, if they think it's 3 weeks, you might as well just put him on injured reserve and get another guy up on the roster. Because Mickey, you remember, it's only 3 weeks.
The other thing, too, just going off of my baseball history and also, you know, sports history here, is it's so tough for guys that use speed to get, like, calf or hamstring or groin injuries in the season, because as much as you try to heal it and try to stay off of it, you're still going back to, like, 1,000%. When you have a whole off season, you can really take the time to build it back up, to get ready 3 to 5 months later. So this one's kind of just worrisome for me on when he does come back, you know, how 100% will he be, and then how much will that calf, like, not give him an issue the rest of the season?
Yeah, Mike, and it'll be interesting to see how quickly they get him back into some rehab situations, you know, getting on the cords. And normally, I know from the trainer's standpoint, they're pretty conservative about getting a guy back shorter. I mean, they try to do it, but their thinking is, once I give him back to the team, I don't want him back with me.
Yes.
So I want to make sure that, you know, he's as close to 100% as possible, especially with that type of injury. You don't want to mess around with that, because it could linger. So they're usually pretty conservative about that. It's like, don't want you back here, so let's get to work.
Mickey, after getting a chance to look at, like, the film again, kind of rewatching that game a little bit, we discussed that they didn't get any pressure on Tom Brady at all. Was that because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensive line was that good, or was something missing from our guys?
Yeah, I think they were good. I looked at some of the stats. I'm going to forget the guy's name. I was looking at the guy, their left tackle that played against Randy Gregory.
Okay. Is that Wirfs?
No, he's on the other side. Smith, maybe? For some reason, Donovan Smith is sticking in my mind. I don't have it in front of me. Last year during...
Donovan Smith, yep.
I was right? Okay.
Yep. Good job, man.
Last year during the playoffs, he allowed 3 pressures in 4 games.
Wow.
That was it. No sacks.
Jeez.
So evidently he's pretty good. They just now, a lot of the stuff they were doing, they were getting the ball out pretty quick. But, you know, the 47-yard pass to Antonio Brown, he was back there patting the ball all day long, right? He had all day to throw the ball. So they just didn't get enough pressure. And when they did, it seemed like they needed to send 5. They needed to blitz. And maybe they didn't do that enough. But they better rethink that this coming Sunday, right? Because Herbert looked pretty good in the pocket. I just thought they'd, you know, do a better job getting pressure. But if you got a blitz, you got a blitz. Because you can't sit there and let the quarterback have all day to kind of sort through his options, where to go from the first read to the second read to the third read. Just did not get enough pressure. And I think they're good, but gosh, you know, everybody's got a decent offensive line. You got to be able to get to the quarterback, and that wasn't a good start on a team that, lacked pressure last year. They just need to do a better job.
I just want to recap what just happened on a segment where we're concerned about injuries, suspensions, and maybe the struggles of the defensive line. Did you go ahead and give us a head start for the week and say, don't forget that quarterback you're facing is awesome, so it could be bad?
I did slip that in there, right?
I was kind of waiting until Wednesday, Thursday to start looking ahead there.
But I just wanted to make sure I was really
judging from his performance yesterday, right?
Okay, well, as long as we're doing that, how badass did you think the Eagles looked? Like, as long as we're just going to heap some stuff on there, they did look pretty good.
Hurts played maybe the best game I've seen him play. And if that's what he's going to do, all season long, then yeah, he's going to be a load, and their offense could be a load. The thing I worried about him was his accuracy. And boy, he was pinpoint yesterday watching that game. He was throwing dimes. Now, Atlanta, they might be in for a long season if that's an indication, right?
Atlanta looks like what we thought the Texans were going to look like,
yeah,
like in week one. It yeah. really do.
So, but yeah, that's, you know, and, you know, I'll say what I had been saying. You know, the reason you pick the Cowboys in the NFC East is who's got the best quarterback. But we'll see if Hurts is the real deal here. And this just isn't a flash in the pan, but he was pretty good.
Appreciate it very much, Mickey. Thanks for the insight. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Okay, talk to you.
Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com. I want that clip for the Atlanta Falcons.
Ugh.
Ugh. Like, I think that's very accurate. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's go around the NFC East. We just referenced it. The Eagles take first place. Joe Judge doesn't know the rules, and... was that sewage?
Mm-hmm.
We'll figure it out next right here on The Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at PitchHitRun.com.
The handoff. No, it's a fake. He fires out. Jalen Rager, 10-5. Touchdown! Great fake by Hurts as he faked it to Sanders, threw it to Rager, and a 23-yard touchdown result.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. It is our Monday staple around the NFC East. Always choose your own adventure in around the NFC East, 877-881-1053. Do you guys want to start with the Cowboys, the Giants, the Washingtons, or the Eagles?
Who's in first place?
That would be the Eagles.
They deserve it.
You know what's great? The Cowboys no longer have the worst record in the NFL. They're still tied for it, but it's not. That's a good thing.
That is true.
15 other right. teams. We don't know about tonight.
For about 60 hours or so, yeah, we have the worst record in the NFL. The Eagles, of course, the only team in the NFC East to pick up a victory over the weekend. We've talked a lot about Jalen Hurts. Anyone else in particular impress you coming out of that game, or is it just the Jalen Hurts show?
Who is the fatty that kept getting to and it wasn't Fletcher Cox, the other fatty next to him. He was great.
Good God, Mike. Is that how we're going to describe him?
I know his name, I forgot his name.
Javon Hargrave?
Yeah, that's it. Hargrave, Fatty Hargrave.
No, that's not the no.
Mike Hargrove.
No.
Yeah, Mike Hargrove was out there sacking the quarterback left
Javon
and right.
Hargrave, 6 tackles, 3 solo, 2 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. And he was good. 3 QB hits.
You look at the receivers across the board. Obviously, Devontae Smith making his NFL debut. He had 6 catches on 8 targets and a touchdown, so good start for him.
Yeah, so with that, like I felt like it would take him a couple of games to kind of get his feet wet in the NFL. He did it immediately. And I guess, you know, you win a Heisman Trophy, you probably should be able to do stuff like that.
Well, and to go with that, though, I'm glad that you said that because remember Mike had talked about, he was like, we're surprised at how many yards that Jalen Hurts had also run for, and you got 62 on 7 carries yesterday. So yes, absolutely.
What he did, and then seeing Rager, you know, because we were where it was Rager last year, right?
Like, he had a touchdown too, right?
Yeah. They both oh crap. Now again, I do want to question, was that Atlanta not being quality, because they really lacked a lot of talent on that team, but they did it. I think the other thing too, last year Philadelphia wasn't great. They didn't run the ball great, and Miles Sanders' health is going to be just a huge factor for this team, because he is that Westbrook kind of guy. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can run it. And when you add that to what Hurts does so well, that's a good team. But, Mike, you bring up that defense. That is scary. Yeah. That's the scary thing, because if their defense can keep them in games, which I going into the season thought there's no chance, that's a big concern for me.
Because going into that game, before that game, we thought Matt Ryan, I don't think he's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback, but there's going to be discussion about him because of all the stats he's accumulated in his career of possibly being a Hall of Fame quarterback. Then Calvin Ridley, Kyle Pitts is supposed to be a combination of Tony Gonzalez and Jerry Rice, right? I follow the draft, but I mean, Kavanaugh, Broadus, Dane, those guys, I mean, they're like, this is the greatest tight end prospect I've ever seen pretty much from those guys. So he has 4 catches for 31 yards. So then you start looking at Philadelphia, who I was like, we'll get to see. They get to play San Francisco coming up. So it's one game. But now I thought for the Cowboys, I thought they'd get destroyed defensively against Tampa. And for the most part, they did. And I think that they're going to get destroyed against Justin Herbert. And then I thought, that's okay. In week 3, people can say, see, Mike, I told you they were, you know, going to be good. Because I thought, well, you know, Jalen Hurts is struggles passing the ball. They have a rookie wide receiver. I get Smith has a lot of talent. And then I thought, well, Rager hasn't done much. So that'll be a game where the defense can really show signs of improvement. But after one game, I go, well, crap, man. We don't have enough cornerbacks to cover 2 wide receivers. We only have 1 cornerback on our roster, pretty much, that can play in the NFL. And so now I look at it and go, man, Goddard, Rager, Smith, what are we going to do type of deal? And then when the quarterback can run out of the pocket, and if we don't get pressure better than we did against Tom Brady's somewhat of a statue. I know he's very good at sliding in the pocket and finding areas, but if we can't make him really flush the pocket, what are we going to do against a guy like Jalen Hurts? So, look, it's one game, but I was very impressed with what I saw.
I think you'll see a lot of Micah Parsons, following that dude around in that respect, but that's a long time from now. The thing, though, Kevin, like, as much as they look good, and you're like, oh, wow, like, is this a scary thing for the NFC East? They're a 3.5-point dog to San Francisco going at home. So, like, that's, you know, nobody's respecting it yet.
Yeah, and I think it'll take a while before you break kind of the narrative of the NFC East if they do. By the way, Eagles, Jordan Mailata, he signed a 4-year, $64 million extension with $41 million guaranteed, the offensive lineman. All right, do you want to go from that to the Giants, the Washingtons, or the Cowboys?
Washington, because of quarterback situation, and we're playing that opponent coming up Sunday.
So everybody started jumping to immediate sign Cam Newton. The Washingtons did not sign Cam Newton in the wake of the Ryan Fitzpatrick injury. He has hip subluxation.
What?
Is, per Ian Rappaport, is... he'll probably be out for a few weeks, but they're doing another test today. Ron Rivera said they would have more information today, but clearly injury to his hip. He is expected to miss multiple weeks, so it's going to become the Taylor Heineke show.
Do you... there's got to be something about Cam that Ron Rivera is like, because I know. That's why.
Because straight away, even before he got hurt, he was like, we're not particularly interested at Cam this time. And then they signed another quarterback today. One Cam Newton.
Yeah.
I did watch the All or Nothing that year, that it was Rivera's second to last year and Cam somewhat last year there. Might have been his second to last year too. And you could tell that Rivera was getting frustrated with Cam. Now, he was hurt, but he's never really recovered. He didn't recover the next year. He didn't look better the next year. I mean, ever since the injuries have piled up on him, he's just not the same quarterback, and you can't run the same offense, and he doesn't read defenses fast. You know, he did have a very strong arm, but after all the lower, you know, leg injuries and lower body injuries, I get why teams are just like, he could be a backup, but does he want to be a backup?
Now, I know we want to talk about what the hell was leaking at FedEx Field, but before we get to that, the Chargers played Washington, and if you don't know that result, this will probably help you out. This is from the San Diego Chargers Twitter. The LA Chargers Twitter. This is their letter of the day for Washington.
The letter What's the letter? What's the letter? What's the letter? What's the letter?
The letter of the day.
Okay.
That's
so,
really?
So
wow.
And on there they flash the Washington football team, and then they do the Sesame Street, and they just start flashing in the Sesame Street L graphics, and it's hilarious.
That is, wow. That the letter of the day is L. That's one.
It's now, well done.
There's that never happens, right? Does social media...
You go after him that aggressively?
Yeah, you just beat, in the first game of the season, a non-conference opponent.
Is
that what they're going to do every time?
I hope not, for this week's sake. But I didn't even see Washington go after them on Twitter, and they were responding. Like, this just seemed like an original tweet that they created. Now, that is just part of Washington's problems. There was a leak at FedEx Field, and it went all across social media, had people saying it's sewage that was leaking out. Now, there are multiple people associated with the team and other reporters who have come out and said it's not sewage. The thought was it was from a holding tank that contained rainwater. So that has to at least make you feel better than, oh no, a bunch of sewage just fell on me at the football
game.
They
have a holding tank that contains in their stadium?
It's like on the roof of the stadium.
Why?
I mean, I guess it's like a more advanced gutter system. I don't know how a gutter system would exactly work for a stadium. Like, I get for a house.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But it's probably just a more advanced system from that perspective. So, yes, it was leakage from that and not sewage that fell on the Washington football team.
Okay.
That just took place on the
field.
Well,
that's better to know after hearing all about that. That's I'm glad that they use that as their spin.
Yes. You know? Oh, man. If you're watching on Twitch, you can see Corey air quotes right there. All right. Do you want to go to the Giants or the Cowboys?
They played. Let's go do the Giants. We talk about the Cowboys a lot. We're going to talk about them a lot more.
All right. The Giants, we talked about Saquon Barkley. He was wearing a New York Fire Department shirt before the game. I thought that was a nice little nod right there. During the game, he did not do a whole lot, but he did better than Joe Judge, because Joe Judge, he didn't just start in the NFL, but he might not know all of the rules just yet. The Giants were down 10-7 in the third quarter, 4th-and-1 from the 4. The Broncos go for it. Teddy Bridgewater found the tight end, scored a touchdown. Joe Judge is like, the hell that is a touchdown, threw the challenge flag.
Nice. Why do you do that?
Here's the thing. All scoring plays are reviewed.
So
they wanted to let them know.
So
double
they,
review it.
They, okay, well, that's great. And they lost a timeout. So they were like, hey, we're going to review this anyway, but since you threw the challenge flag,
you're supposed to
lose a timeout. And so they were assessed that lost timeout because of a challenge that was already going to be reviewed.
Yeah, see, this is, I always thought that Jason Garrett had no clue what to do in those instances.
You think Garrett told him?
I think Garrett was just like, I don't know if Garrett knows. Mike, didn't you always have a feeling that Garrett never had the dude up in the box that was like, hey, do it right now because this is the right time?
I've always said this about Garrett, and I don't think he's a horrible coach. I think he's okay. I think if he was a general manager or like the head of your scouting department, I think when he has time, I think he's very analytical and the game moves too fast for him, to my opinion, to be great. I don't think he's horrible. You know, like I know some people think he's horrible. I think he's okay, but I think at times the game moves too fast and I think he can be a great asset to your organization. I just think that that play clock and everything that goes with it, it goes too fast for him to do all the things that are going inside of his head.
And I wanted to throw this out real quick for the Cowboys. We're going to get a chance to mention it on Friday. Pretty cool for Amari Cooper. 13 catches, the most ever in a Cowboys season opener. Jeez. Amari Cooper previously was tied for the record with 10. Miles Austin had done it twice. Frank Clark had done it twice. And Tony Dorsett had, and they had all had 10 catches in the opener. So Amari Cooper now holds that record by himself with 13 catches in Thursday's season opener.
Hopefully we keep getting that all year from him. I do. I really do. I want him to be the number one. That people go, dang, Amari was the number one receiver in the NFL this year.
So he's on pace.
All right, you're the math guy. What's
221 catches?
So yeah. 221.
All right.
Come on, Amari.
Make it happen.
You and I discussed this at camp. It's okay. You got this.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, are you bummed, mad, or some other feeling entirely about the Lyle Collins suspension? We'll talk about it next right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.